Hi everyone, my name is Katie Colseth.
And I'm Leah Martinson.
Two senior international studies majors at Pepperdine University. Welcome to Global Tides, a podcast where we highlight the research and achievements of impressive members of the Pepperdine community.
Through this season of Global Tides, we hope to inspire empathy, encourage critical thinking, and broaden perspectives through an exploration of social science research and experiences. This is episode 3. Outside of the classroom at Pepperdine, many faculty members encourage academic and personal development through unique experiences such as external conferences. Today, we sit down with Senior International Studies major Charlotte Davis, along with Senior Economics, Hispanic Studies, and International Studies triple major Carter Lentz to discuss their unique experiences attending international relations-focused military conferences.
In today's episode, Charlotte and Carter share their experiences drafting policy memos, discussing nuclear deterrence, and living in the military dorms with current cadets at the Air Force Academy and West Point, respectively.
Welcome back to episode 3 of Global Tides. I'm your host, Leah Martinson.
And I'm Katie Colseth.
Today, we are so excited to be joined by two of our classmates, Carter Lentz and Charlotte Davis. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Welcome. Hey, thanks, Leah. So good to be here.
Thank you.
If you guys just want to give us a little bit of a rundown of your time here at Pepperdine, maybe your major, any specializations you guys have or minors or anything like that, just to introduce you all to the listeners. Charlotte, yeah. Go ahead and start.
Yeah, absolutely. My name's Charlotte Davis, and I'm a senior at Pepperdine University, international studies major with a German minor. I'm also a part of the Global Fellows program on campus, which has a huge emphasis on studying abroad and gaining work experience. And then this fall, I'll be enrolled at Georgetown University's School of Foreign Service for my master's.
That's awesome.
So exciting. Yay. Congratulations.
Thanks. Thanks,
go ahead, Carter.
Yeah, so I'm Carter Lentz. I am also a current senior here at Pepperdine, majoring in Economics, International Studies, and Hispanic Studies, as well as an Applied Math minor. And while I've been here, I have worked at the Office of Admission for 4 years, giving tours, talking to prospective families, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. I've also served as a tutor, got to go abroad to Buenos Aires for the Upper Division Spanish program there this past summer. So all kinds of really cool stuff that I've gotten to do as a student here at Pepperdine, and future plans are that I hope to end up in D.C. working in the public sector, gearing up for grad school or law school in the future.
So for the listeners, as an overview, Carter attended the 73rd Student Conference on U.S. Affairs at West Point, and Charlotte attended the 64th Academy Assembly Waging Peace on the Final Frontier at the Air Force Academy. So we're so excited to have them both here today to hear about their experiences at these military conferences. So our first question is, could you guys just give us an overview of how you got introduced to this opportunity to attend these conferences? I have the understanding that it was faculty chosen, so congratulations for that. But yeah, if you could just kind of give us a general overview of what you knew about the conference before you went and kind of your feelings going into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can go ahead and get started. So Dr. Fabulous, the infamous international studies professor, reached out to us and let us know that we were chosen to attend these conferences. From there, we kind of selected which ones we wanted to attend based on interest, based on where we wanted to go. So kind of penned out that Charlotte was going to Air Force, I was going to New York and going to West Point. So aside from that, I really didn't know too much about the conference going in. I knew what they had on their website. I knew that I was going to be on a round table. I knew that I was going to be discussing economic populism. I knew some different things like that. I talked to the person who went last year, and she had a different experience because of COVID. They had to run the program a little bit differently. So as a result of that, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I definitely was a little bit nervous to fly over to New York, go and meet a bunch of new people and be in an unfamiliar place, unfamiliar location, talking with a bunch of really smart people. But also I was really excited about those same exact things, just being able to experience that as an undergraduate student, kind of as a senior, thinking about this as not a capstone, but kind of a final representation of what I've learned and a final reflection of my experience here. I was very honored to have been able to do that. So that's kind of what I was feeling like going in.
Yeah.
Charlotte?
Cool. Yeah. No, when they gave us the options, I've interned with the Department of Defense in policy. And so I kind of I kind of knew that I wanted to go to the Air Force Academy because I felt like of all the services, I really aligned more with Air Force. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was going to be about, so I was kind of nervous. I didn't understand fully. Like, they gave us the options of like, well, there's going to be all these workshops, so just rank which workshops you have interest in attending. Mm-hmm. And little did I know like what that would mean when I got there. But yeah, that's kind of how we got to where we were.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's awesome. Thanks. So you both kind of already touched on this. You both obviously attended two different conferences with different setups. Carter, you mentioned that you were on a panel that discussed economic populism and globalization. And Charlotte, you said just told us that you participated in a workshop on nuclear deterrence. Can you walk us through a little bit of the process, kind of at the beginning of the conference when you were split into groups and kind of given the topics that you were working through? What did that look like?
Yeah, I can go ahead and get us started. So there were 8 workshops that were going on, interspersed like talking points at the conference. So we'd have guest speakers, like someone from the U.S. Space Command, and then we'd like have coffee break and then go into our workshops. Mm-hmm. And in these workshops, they were simulations. And so I was a part of the space crisis simulation for nuclear deterrence. And so we met in those groups like 3 times throughout the conference for like hour and a half long chunks of time to problem solve. And we were given these hypothetical situations of like, well, if country A has a satellite that controls their nuclear power and country B is suspected to have attacked that satellite and is hostile with that country, are they going to nuke them? What happens? How do we prevent nukes from being used against the countries? Wow. And so each, like the first round was just a practice round, and then the second one and third, we were given this like situation that we were supposed to solve, and we were given which country we represented, and I kind of helped broker a treaty between them.
So Charlotte, you just casually mentioned, nonchalantly mentioned, that you kind of brokered a peace treaty, but it won you an award. So I want to give you time to talk about that. What was that like?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was really interesting because when I got to the conference, I was with people, I was with a lot of engineers and a lot of people from like MIT, really prestigious schools with like research institutions. And then I had all the military personnel who had that perspective to bring, but no one in the group was really bringing like an international relations aspect, which was, yeah, it was so surprising because I feel like at Pepperdine, you know, in our classes, we are really taught like how important treaties are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I was actually in Dr. Fabulous's International Organizations and Law class at the time, and I was learning about all these like treaty options and you can take reservations out. And so I was kind of talking to the people in the class or like in the workshop, and I was like, we can offer them this treaty and tell them they can take a reservation and XYZ. And no one really had thought about the treaty option. They were just talking about war games and like strategies on like how to position ourselves most advantageously, like militarily.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah.
That's so cool too, hearing how your experience in your classes at Pepperdine had a direct application at this conference and in this workshop in particular. I'm sure that felt really cool to be able to bring that knowledge that sounds like no one else was really bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it won you. Can you tell us a little bit more about the award that it won you?
Yeah, absolutely. So because of that, I didn't know this when the conference started because it was all kind of a whirlwind of a 3-day ordeal.
Absolutely.
But on the final day, they announced that for each of the workshops, one person was nominated to be the outstanding delegate.
Wow.
And so of the like over 200 people that were at the conference, 7 or 8 of us were selected.
Wow.
And I was the outstanding delegate for the nuclear deterrence workshop.
Wow. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's so awesome.
That's so awesome, Charlotte. Making Pepperdine proud.
Yes, definitely. Okay, Carter, off to you. So what was your process like at the beginning of the conference? Can you walk us through how you were split into groups and assigned your topic?
And also maybe talk a little bit, like Charlotte just did, about who were the other people there? Who else? Who were you collaborating with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So I didn't win any awards, but I did get to sleep on a cot and eat some beef stroganoff, which was fun. So looking at the beginning of the process, basically when I received the materials about a week before, I was put on a roundtable. And I guess before that, I was able to rank the different roundtables and see the different topics and choose which one was more
nice.
Most interesting to me. Mm-hmm. So naturally, I chose the economics one, economic populism, and that's the one that I got. So I got put in with students from, they were mostly from the East Coast, but was in a group with them and kind of just got put with them. Within our group, we had a head cadet who was a senior at West Point. They have a specific naming system, so it was fun to learn the vocabulary of that.
Yeah.
So they had the senior cadet, and then after that, they had two cadets that were participating in the roundtable, and then we had a scribe, who was what they call a firstie, so like a freshman, and he was just supposed to scribe, but he ended up being a very big participant in the group because he had lots of good opinions, well, lots of opinions. That's So that's kind of what that looked like, is we had four delegates from West Point that were on the group, and then there was probably about 10 of us from other schools in the surrounding area, and we were all put in this group. We kind of did everything together, so traveled around the different sessions together, ate different meals together, wrote our policy memo together. So our first session then when we got together was, all right, the issue, we got a case sheet. This is the issue. We're looking at economic populism and globalization. What do you think? So it was just like starting to brainstorm, starting to think all the different angles, all the different aspects of ways that these two things, populism, globalization, are combined. And I naturally also took the international studies approach and started thinking about how American exports, American imports, globalization has crowded out a lot of international domestic producers and kind of impacted that area and that market. But similarly, there's a lot of students who focused very domestically and were once again very much focusing on the impact of globalization on rural communities in America, which, not that that's not important, but definitely you have to take both into account. So that was kind of the first thing that struck me right off the bat, is I was taking a much more international lens. A lot of them were taking more domestic lenses. And yeah, throughout the time, I spent a lot of time with that crew, which was fun to meet them, hear their stories. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So cool.
I guess I'm just a little bit curious why this is kind of directed at Carter, but Charlotte, you touched on this as well. So were these other students not international relations majors, or why do you guys think that you guys brought this unique perspective?
Yeah, so for me, I can start. There was a few different things. The first that was interesting to me is, like we said at the beginning, we were faculty chosen, which is nice, but a lot of these other students were applying for this program, and so the fact that they applied and got acceptance into this program out of a competitive applicant pool at their respective college meant a lot to them. So it was weird coming into this situation of like, I'm just here to have a good time, learn something, like go through this experience and grow in that way. Yeah. And these other students were like, I have fought to get here, I've applied, I've arrived, and I need to prove my worth.
Yeah.
So that was one big difference that I felt in terms of the way that discussions were facilitated and the way that people communicated. In addition to that, most of the other students were, there were some international relations majors, but there was a lot of political science. There was some more econ, some business admin, some accounting. So I met people kind of all over the board, a math major I met. So people really were not in one area, which once again was very clear to me because I was like, you clearly, well, not in a bad way, but you clearly have never taken any international relations course or any international law course or things like that. So definitely shaped the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, same with like the Air Force Academy. There were a lot of engineers. Okay. And a lot of like physics, a lot of things that I don't know much about, which kind of made me a little self-conscious. But because even in the workshops, we did have to consider, well, this is in this orbital, and like there's Leo and Geo and just the whole realm, like the whole terminology of satellites, like I had no idea.
Yeah.
but like, yeah, so it was a different variety of students and their majors.
Cool.
That's awesome. Thanks. In reflecting back, could you guys just kind of maybe, if you each want to pick one challenge and one thing that you really benefited from working with people from such different backgrounds across different age groups? I mean, it's such a valuable skill, something we all need to learn how to do. What was that like?
I think for me, once again, I had a lot of students from the East Coast whose philosophy is say what's on your mind and stick behind it. Mm-hmm. And I am very much a person who is not like that. And it's very much like, oh, yeah, I see where you're coming from. Like, and so this was a really important experience for me to know that I'm coming with a unique perspective, know that that perspective is adding to the conversation and just sticking true to that. And understanding that even if people push back, doesn't necessarily mean that I'm wrong. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. But it just is creating further discussion and further pushing along the dialogue. Yeah. So that was really important to me, is entering a space in which I know nobody. I'm not in a Pepperdine classroom where I feel comfortable to say what's on my mind. Yeah. I'm in a space where I don't know anyone and I need to just participate. And I need to just provide and display my perspective for them, and there's benefit in that. So that's a really important lesson, especially in the field that we want to go in. You're going to have to learn how to state your opinion and stand behind it. So that was a good experience, but also a challenge. So I guess I answered both of your questions.
Yeah,
I totally agree with Carter. I think, like, walking in, and it's like you do, like, it's very easy to be intimidated, and I think a challenge can be to know, like, your worth or importance in contributing to that conversation.
Okay, now we just kind of want to go more in depth about your respective topics and the research process, especially with a focus on your presentations at the end, because obviously this conference, you guys were working with your groups and then it was all building up to the presentation at the end. So please tell us a little bit about that. What was that process like? Carter, if you want to go ahead and start.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, throughout the week, we had different workshops where we would meet together as a group and work on our policy memo. Towards the beginning, we were helped by a faculty advisor. He was from University of Oregon, I think. And he gave us advice and tried to shape conversation and push it in a way that he thought was beneficial. So whether or not we took that, it was helpful to just hear his perspective and be pushed in the right direction. Then after that, we started brainstorming, thinking of, okay, what are the main different things that are affected by globalization? What are the main different groups? Thinking about how we want to break it down and make it very logical. Yeah. Then after that, we started going through and actually drafting a policy memo directed towards, I think it was the State Department, but it could have also been, I think it was specifically military, so kind of addressed towards, I don't know if it was the head of army or head of military, it's not important. But we drafted a policy memo kind of lining out the different areas that we thought were important and the different ways that we could emphasize education and different initiatives there. So like I said earlier, we split it up between international and domestic, focused on educational initiatives, looked at some sort of financing schemes in which you can try to allocate money in different ways. So those were some of the ideas that we came up with. I can't remember them right off the bat, but we just did a lot of research and each worked on a respective part of the policy memo so that by the last session that we had, we could read through it, finalize it, and then create the presentation. And then at the end of the conference, we had a policy presentation where we were able to present our findings, present what we were proposing to the other groups, to the rest of the session. All the military leaders were there at West Point. All of the different cadets and stuff like that were there at that presentation. So a good experience to be presenting in front of all those people.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure maybe a little bit intimidating at first. But such a cool experience.
It's okay. I'm tough.
Charlotte, do you want to continue?
Yeah. So with our workshop, we had ranked like which ones we'd be interested in attending, but then it turned out we were only attending the one for like the conference. And so we found out which ones we were attending, or which one we were attending. And then they sent us background reading before the conference, kind of breaking down what the Outer Space Treaty is, different parts of the international order governing space right now, which is, it's such a new field, so it's like there's not that much on it, and so we kind of had a lot of leeway to get creative in our workshop. And so Ours wasn't necessarily so research-based, rather than like a war game strategy assignment or ideal. But at the end of the conference, after the different workshops concluded, we presented, each workshop presented to a panel of really like important international people, such as like an ambassador, and then like a U.S. Space Command, like the lieutenant for U.S. Space Command, and like a former president advisor. Like, so it was kind of intimidating, and only two people from each group presented from that. And so I didn't present the workshop, but I kind of helped them organize what they were going to say, because, you know, I think it's valuable to let other people talk, like, you know, and not like hog the conversation. So I was like, you guys present.
That's huge.
But, yeah,
I love how you mentioned that last part too. I think there's a lot of value in, you know, just learning about your personal leadership style and also knowing when it might be good to lead from behind a little bit too. So that's really awesome. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that.
Thanks.
You guys, prior to the interview, kind of told us a little bit about your living situation, or your staying situations while you were at these conferences. They sound so interesting. And surely they played a very large part in your overall experience at these conferences. Carter, you stayed at West Point with the cadets. Charlotte, you stayed at the Air Force Academy with the female cadets. Could you both tell us a little bit about how this impacted your experience and any takeaways from that?
Yeah, I can start. Yeah, with being at the Air Force Academy, we always had to be with a cadet at all times. So, like, because they didn't want us wandering around campus because that'd be, like, a security risk. And so I slept on a cot in a sleeping bag between these two girls' beds. And it was really funny because we hung out, like, all the time because, like, she would have to either hand me off to someone. It was like she was like a handler or something. But yeah, and so it was the like a cot set up, and then every morning, like, they have a specific lights out, or like like they literally will play like trumpets at like 7 a.m. to get you out of bed.
And,
I mean, granted, the conference was like breakfast at 7:30, and like things started rolling pretty early. And so it was kind of funny because you'd have like the 11 o'clock trumpet, like PM, and then you'd have like the 7 a.m. trumpet, like the, and so I would be like in the, and then they had like communal showers and bathrooms. And so like, and I hadn't brought shower shoes, and I was like, no. And the girl I was saying this was like, you can use my flip flops, you're good.
Oh, no. Good.
So she was so nice. I still talk to her. So I would say like living with them for that, like the few days was so nice. They also liked it because they didn't have their room checked for a few days, so they didn't have to like clean so rigorously.
Oh my god.
But yeah, so we would just go, we were like hanging out all the time, and she's a friend now.
Oh, so cool.
That's sweet.
Very immersive experience, it sounds like.
That's just so funny to hear, because I had a very similar experience, but we do not hang out. I was like visibly upsetting them by being there.
Oh,
and I had, well, that's a bit dramatic, but it's the kind of the truth. I had a unique experience in that the people that were originally supposed to host me and knew that they were hosting me ended up not being able to last minute. So I got there on one of the first round of buses. I land, I'm sitting in the auditorium, and they're like, why aren't you to your room yet? And I was like, I don't know. I haven't been taken anywhere.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we'll fix that. We'll get on that. So like, eventually I finally get taken to a room. They're like, okay, we don't really know where you're staying, but we're taking you to these people's room. It's like, okay. So I get to this room of two seniors, and they were getting ready for a trip because they were both athletes. You have to do sports when you're there. So they were traveling to Texas for a tournament for a game.
Yeah.
And so I was just sitting there like chatting. I was like, so like,
hey. Right.
Yeah, how are you doing? Like, how have you, like, West Point? You know, like, just making small talk. And it was just, it was for, like, an hour or so where I was just oh, it was kind of brutal small talk because they were like very visibly trying to get things done.
Yeah.
And I was just, and then they had me and I couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So then finally this other guy runs to the door and he's like, here, are you Carter? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm coming to get you. So then he takes me to his room and I get to the room that now I'm staying in and it's three freshies or three firsties, like freshman students, and in a room designed for two people, there's four of us now because there's a bunk bed, another bed, and then my cot squeezed in between the person's bed and the closet. And that was just a whole fiasco of trying to get that set up. Mm-hmm. So then like during the day I'd have to put my cot up and take it up because they just didn't have room to even access their closets. So that was kind of funny. And it just and so then I finally got there and then I had like 4 hours to burn before our first event. And once again, I had to just make small talk with them because they were trying to do things like this. This one of my roommates or one of the cadets there was ironing a shirt for literally 3 hours. I just don't think he knew how to iron a shirt.
Oh no!
I don't think the iron was on because it wasn't like getting any flatter.
Nothing was on.
And I should have said something, but I was kind of laughing at the situation. So
let him struggle.
Exactly. So all that to say, that was a unique experience, just because right off the bat, I felt very tossed and turned and very much like I'm in this person's space. I don't want to impose, but I have to impose because I can't go anywhere by myself. Yeah. I can't leave. I can't go to the bathroom, like all this stuff. So it was a very interesting experience because of that. Plus the same thing where they wake up at 6:30 and instead of trumpets, what they would do is they would all line up outside and they would all go like, for breakfast, we are having eggs, bacon, and just like list it off over and over and chant what they were having for breakfast.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Because the lunches, like the meals, you all have to eat together. Like you eat together at a table and they stand like, they salute and then they're allowed to sit down and eat.
Wow. So honestly, getting woken up by that was kind of beautiful because then I'd wake up, they'd all go to breakfast, and I'd kind of have the room to myself. Then I could go to the bathroom, I could shower, nobody was there.
Yeah.
But, and like the first day was truly pretty brutal. Like I felt like I was, I was so tired. And I was like, I can't make one more ounce of small talk.
Yeah.
Plus I met everyone on my table, so it was very tiring. Yeah. But then by the second day, I was like, okay, this is kind of funny. And like, this is a good story, and I just need to really sink into it. Yeah. So then after that, I kind of loved it. Like, felt like getting picked up by mom or dad at my like final event at night.
Waiting
or, like
for
if
your
I wanted
cadets.
To go to my friend's house, I had to get my cadet to take me.
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of felt fun like that. So once I got over that first initial hump, it was chill.
Yeah. It's kind of like you had to sign up to be like, like super social for like 3 days.
Yes.
Wow.
Because you weren't going to get any alone time. Like maybe in the shower. Like you might have 5 minutes, but the water might be cold.
Yeah.
So you're like, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Wow. But, man. No. Wow, you guys, this has been such a pleasure. I feel like I've learned so much about these conferences and about your experience. Now, just to wrap up, looking back, what were some of the biggest takeaways from your experience? Did you learn a lot from the research process or maybe from speakers that you guys saw? And maybe just if you could touch on how has or will your experiences at these conferences maybe set you up for future opportunities?
Yeah, so I can go ahead and start. I definitely took away a lot from the conference. Once again, just being put in an uncomfortable situation is a perfect ground for growth. So just even all the stuff that I was just talking about with the housing was a huge point of growth for me, just kind of getting over that barrier and just really embracing where I was at and embracing this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Let's sing into it, let's grow, let's have fun, and just have the memories. That was really good. Plus then everything I was talking about, specifically with the research process and the writings of the memo, working with a group of people who are very diverse and have diverse perspectives and opinions, is really important to learn the lesson of, I have my own opinion, that can change, but for the most part, stick true to it, try to argue your point, and use that as a spring point for further discussion. So just trying to stay true in what I know and what I believe and not letting other people sway it unless they truly do have a good point was a really big takeaway for me. And then lastly, I was just saying our keynote speaker was the UN or the US ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas Greenfield. So it was really cool to my table at dinner was right next to her, and then she got up and she talked to us just all about the past few years and talking about being the UN ambassador during COVID, post-COVID, during the Russia-Ukraine conflict, through all this stuff. And we were able to have a Q&A and ask her questions. And it was just interesting to see the way that she handled those questions.
Yeah.
Interesting to see that all the different ideas and topics and issues and situations that she has to have on her mind. I know that. And like I've read different people's accounts and know that there's a lot going on, but to see it firsthand and see her have to deal with all these different questions of what about the Uyghurs? What about Russia, Ukraine? What about Latin America? What about, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, she has literally the whole world to think about theoretically, and she can't do that all. So that was really cool to see me and a takeaway for me.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, and then I think what I took away from the conference was just the information. It opened up a whole new set of interests for me and actually has impacted a lot of my research this year. So I ended up doing a research project on space policy and like if there's been any space cases for international organizations and law in that class, such as like the Cosmos 954 disaster that happened. And then like I'm also, like, my senior thesis is all about, like, Boeing and stuff. I wanted to do something space-related or, like, defense contractor-related. So I think, like, my key takeaway is to, like, if there's events or if there's speakers that sound interesting to you, like, it's a good idea to go and attend because you have no idea what you could learn.
Yeah.
At our conference, we had Dr. Lori Garver, who was like one of the heads of NASA under Obama.
Wow.
And she was kind of one of our keynote speakers. And then like Lieutenant General Shaw for the U.S. Space Command. And so it was just really great to network. And something I kind of took away from that conference is like to keep in touch with those people, because it's like if you have an interest, especially with anything defense related, like the doors will open, good Lord willing. Like, I mean, like, you know, and people want to help you get through them. So like from that conference, they invited me back and like the other delegates back to attend the legal conference held by U.S. Space Command in February. And there I was able to meet like CEOs of space companies and like all of these huge like military figures. And that was, it just even helped with networking. So I think my like takeaway is to like just keep putting yourself out there and ask questions. And you know, being a student, you get certain advantages that you wouldn't have otherwise. Because like you can ask those questions. And you know, being a civilian, I had no barriers walking up to the military personnel that were highly ranked, and I could introduce myself because I could be like, "Hi, I'm Charlotte Davis. Like, can I have a photo with you?" Whereas like if I had been like a knob or like a freshman, like a military personnel, I wouldn't be able to approach someone of that high rank by myself. You know. So I think just like putting yourself out there and asking questions and meeting people.
That's huge. That's awesome.
Huge.
Well, thank you guys so very much for joining us. I know Katie and I have taken a lot away from this conversation with you guys, and hopefully all of our listeners will as well. So thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, you guys.
You got it, Sergeant.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for joining us on this episode.
We'll see you next time here on Global Tides.